Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Welcome back to season 6 of the Next Brave Thing podcast. I am your host, Ella Hooper. And if you've been listening for a while, you will know that I currently live in Melbourne, Australia, but have been living in California for the past 10 years. And I decided to take a break from last seasons of recording to really just kind of take some space to really think through like what I actually want to do with my podcast, where I want it to go. And I think I had this podcast while I was working at a university and navigating leadership. And this is a very different season of my life. And it's actually been a beautiful rest season. But it had me thinking about, like, what do I really believe in? What do I wholeheartedly believe in? And it is this topic about living wholehearted that I first heard of by Dr. Brené Brown. I first heard her TED Talk on vulnerability that went viral many, many years ago, maybe 13 or 14 years ago, like so many. And I really have read all her books, like learned so much about, yeah, all the practices, how to cultivate a wholehearted life. And so I thought, why not do a whole series on living wholehearted? And I'm really pulling on her work. She has so many books, but she has a book called The Gifts of Imperfection. And she talks through her guideposts, and she has 10 guideposts that can kind of give us guidance on how to live wholehearted. And when I think about life, a lot of us, I would even argue all of us, are living by the rules that either society or culture has like programmed us to believe in. And that may have come from your childhood. It may have come from media. And we talk a lot about, like, especially in the media, there's a lot of like feminist beliefs and hating the patriarch and ideas of femininity and masculinity. And there's so many different beliefs out there and ways of thinking. And this coming and doing this work, doing my own spiritual and emotional journey, like I've really come up with a framework or an ethos of how I do my life. And I know whenever I'm facing different things, I can either go back to like my old way of programming and thinking, or I can actually embody a different way of approaching life's troubles. And I think that has a lot to do with like how we work through painful moments in our life. And so hopefully as I go week by week talking through these guideposts, you start to feel such an invitation to kind of live differently and exist differently in the world. And it's really, these guideposts are more of like an internal lifestyle that affects the external. And so the guideposts are, I'll go through them. Number one, cultivating authenticity, letting go of what people think. Number two is cultivating self-compassion, letting go of perfectionism. Number three is cultivating a resilient spirit, letting go of numbing and powerlessness. Number four is cultivating gratitude and joy, letting go of scarcity and fear of the dark. Number five is cultivating intuition and trusting faith, letting go of the need for certainty. Number six is cultivating creativity, letting go of comparison. Seven is cultivating play and rest, letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth. Oof, that'll get you. Number eight is cultivating calm and stillness, letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle. Nine is cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt and supposed to. And 10 is cultivating laughter, song, and dance, letting go of being cool and always in control. And I'm going to go week by week and be talking about these guideposts. I'm also being intentional about inviting different guests on who really complement the topic. And these people are really connected to their heart. But I think when I think of wholehearted living, I think of wholeness. And that word actually comes from the word shalom, and which is complete. It's, you know, a way of being internally and living where our body, our soul, and our spirit are all connected. And some people spend so much time, like I think of gym junkies, like who spend so much time like cultivating their body, but they abandon their soul and their spirit. And then there's some very spiritual people that are very, very, very spiritual, but they have no connection to their soul or their body. And then like me, for the past like 10 years, I would say I was super connected to the spiritual and the soul, like learning how to work through emotions and unpack, you know, deep programming that I kind of put on, you know, to believe about the world. I've been like unpacking and unraveling that. But then I've really learned probably in the last 3 years, well, even longer, actually. I went on a body journey, started that really in 2019, like really digging into healthy, nurturing, loving way to like, you know, really love my body. But really learning about the nervous system in these last 3 years has been a game changer. And so, yeah, so I'm going to be talking about, and we're going to be unpacking throughout these guideposts, like with different guests and different leaders, yeah, like how to actually cultivate and learn how to foster, nurture, and thrive in life where our body, soul, and our spirit are all on the same page. And even I've even learned, like, because we love that word integrity, like we want to be good people of good character. But one thing that I'm learning about integrity is learning to like not abandon one of my, you know, my body, soul, and spirit, like just saying yes to things and then my body's screaming no. And just learning how to get in harmony and listen to myself and listen to what's actually happening. And so I believe like when we're in alignment with our spirit, our soul, and our body, like that's where true integrity is. Like we're actually living in our values, we're connected to them. And a lot of the time it can be an internal negotiation, because sometimes like obviously in life we have to do things we don't want to do. And like there's certain things like we choose to do because we want to honor someone or be there for someone. And sometimes like, yeah, we override like maybe what we don't want to do. But then I think Brené Brown talks about dirty yeses. When your whole life is filled with dirty yeses, saying yes to things you actually don't want to do, it's actually an invitation to like have a check-in. It sounds like your check engine light is on in your car, and you're learning to actually like give yourself space to actually recalibrate, because there is a way of existing where you're not constantly betraying yourself. And you're like in that sweet spot, that tension of like knowing your season, but also knowing how to not overextend yourself all the time. And I believe like part of when you heal, you become more resilient. But when you start a healing journey, you'll often have very low resilience, because maybe you like grit your, kind of hung on for dear life. I'm trying to think of the term of like you grit your teeth and like you suck it up and you do things you don't want to do. And like there is something of like that life sometimes really does pull that from us, require that of us, but we don't want to live in a lifestyle where that's always our norm. And so often what healing is usually we have the operating system that we're just kind of living in reaction to the world, and then something happens in our life where it requires us, it all kind of breaks down, or we have these upgrade moments of like, oh, I want to step into something new. My old operating system is not going to be supportive of me as I upgrade my life. And so it's letting go of the old ways and stepping into the new ways and stepping, actually getting clarity around like where you have permission to kind of live. And so, yeah, I always say like often a lot of us had an operating system where it's like built on shame and performance, like and people pleasing and perfectionism. And then we get to a point where we're just so burnt out and exhausted and we want to actually live our operating system based on a foundation of love and passion and feeling alive. And so that's really what this wholehearted series is about. It's learning to get your body, soul, and spirit on the same page. And this series is also about alignment, like how to actually get in alignment with your true identity and to like uncover all of the labels that maybe have been put on you and start like showing up in the world as your truest self. And I believe in order to do that, we actually need to understand our emotions and then the spiritual world and our body and our nervous system. But I love this quote by Brené Brown because it kind of encapsulates this thing. Because I think often people will seek out help, like getting counseling or coaching when their life is blowing up. I'm really big on like, how about you do it when life is actually going well? Because it's like, you're not on everything on fire. But I think the important thing is in processing any sort of like self-growth or work on yourself, it's really important to approach yourself not from a place of like, I need to fix this thing about myself, because that promotes this idea that you're broken and that you are, it just reinforces like a, yeah, just this brokenness in you. And I think I always like view my clients as already whole. So when I sit and coach someone, I'm not looking at them like, gee, they're so broken. They have so much work to do on themselves. And so if I start with completion, like you're already whole and we're just working towards more wholeness, then I'm not looking like you're like a project that needs to get fixed. But I love this quote by Brené Brown that she says, wholehearted living is about engaging in our lives from a place of worthiness. It's going to bed at night thinking, yes, I'm imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging. And I just think, because I'm around my nieces and nephew, I just look at them and see their precious innocence and I see their value and how precious they are. And it's helped me really connect with like every human is that. And I know it's harder to see that because we have difficult people and I'm difficult. Everyone's got difficult moments. And so it's like, oh, it's hard to like see people as valuable when they're irritating us. But I think like it's helpful to go, well, a lot of like pain shaped their identity. And I think when we become more wholehearted, we have more compassion for other people, more grace, more capacity for people. But it's also reconnecting with your own worth, that you're valuable and that you're precious. And it's sometimes easier to see someone else as valuable or precious. It's really hard to like connect to that yourself. And so that's why I love this quote. It's about really your starting place is you are someone of value and you are worthy of love and belonging. And yeah, a lot of us, I mean, it's so easy to do. Like even it's so easy to celebrate someone who does all the right things. Like, and so it's so easy to love someone who treats you perfectly, but then it's learning how to love people in their messiness and their humanity and loving yourself in those places. And I think that people who have learned how to cultivate deep self-worth, they've let go of a lot of perfectionism, and there's a beautiful place of security in them. And I'm going to be talking about how to cultivate that. But what are the things that get in the way of living wholehearted? And I'm going to be talking about this as well. We have these self-protection shields, and we put up these self-protection, especially in places of great vulnerability. And I think in research, the two greatest vulnerable places are your workplace and your romantic relationship. So because those two places are a place where your value is really up for question, like in a romantic relationship is like, are you going to choose me? And then like in your workplace, it's like, am I bringing something of value so that we can do an exchange of money? Like, you know, and so those two places like are often where, whether you're dating or like getting into a relationship or like single or married or whatever, that's a journey. And then also what you do, how you work, like how you show up. And those are places that we really affect people and can make us go into performance. And so there's this tension with performance of like, actually my behavior affects someone. So how do I navigate this tension of like, I'm already loved, but learn how to not treat people like using that as a license to like, oh, I'm already loved. You should love me. So I'm going to treat you terrible. And so those are a lot of tensions we're going to explore in this season. But the self-protection shields are often perfectionism, performance, blame, proving, self-sufficiency, denial, pleasing, disappointment. And sometimes like we use the shield of disappointment to protect us from getting our hopes up and walking through that crushing experience of maybe they don't happen. So we'll just live disappointed. And that can tend to like take us into a place of apathy. And then denial. Like I think that denial is something that's not really talked a lot about. And I think especially growing up in Australian culture, we have this thing of like, you don't want to be tricked or you don't want to be misled, suspicion, like you're always skeptical of things and you never would want to be in a position of denial. But sometimes like that is denial, like because there's actually good things in the world and not everyone is out to be malicious. And but then there's also denial in places of really connecting with our reality of life, like where we're at. Sometimes we can over-spiritualize something, but we don't actually connect with honesty about what we're having happen in our life. And yes, we're meant to live a life of faith and like wonder, but sometimes that can be us avoiding pain and disappointment. So part of like learning how to be wholehearted is really learning how to move through pain and heal from pain and not shove it down and run from it. And of course, like self-sufficiency, and I can get into this myself, like as like self-protection, like, and I've had to really learn, like, cause I can pendulum swing from being codependent and like, I don't know where I end and the other person begins, like that codependence. And I really overthink about how that person thinks about what they think about me. And if they're happy with me, I'm happy with me, like that kind of codependence. And then I can go to independence of like, I'll just be alone and I'll just be by myself because it's safer that way. And so I become really self-sufficient and I don't need anyone because I can just, you know, take care of myself. And so I'm learning how to be interdependent. And so part of working through becoming wholehearted is learning how to do that. And then proving, Man, this can be a real one, like especially in our workplace. We want to prove ourselves. Blame is huge. I think that's so big right now, especially on social media, is like we want to blame any discomfort we feel on something else. And rather than checking in of like, what is this is a mirror to what something in me, you know? And then there's performance, like where we're performing for love. Like we feel like if we act, do everything right, then we will be safe and we will be loved and we'll be belong. And then there's perfectionism, which can be sneaky. And people pleasing and perfectionism are great shields because they're really trying to manage your perception of me. And it's a protection from that uncomfortable feeling of shame. And so perfectionism is, you know, there's such black and white thinking inside of that. And actually all of these have elements of black and white thinking, like that fixed mindset of like, this is the right way and this is the wrong way. And I understand that there's space for that kind of thinking to a degree, but I think that sometimes we get so stuck in these shields that it robs us from being whole and it robs us from, yeah, living fully alive in all of our emotions. And so I had a student when I was working at the art school, like, come to me at the end of their school year and they said, Ella, I have had to let go and break free from self-preservation. And this student was in a musical theater program. Like, you can't, like, that guidepost of letting go of being cool. When you're a performer or an actor, like, you cannot have the cool thing. Like, you have to let go of being cool if you're in any sort of performing arts. And she said, yeah, this has just got stripped from me this year of self-preservation. And that's probably why I'm so drawn to acting, is like it forces you to like shed these self-protective layers. And we find ourselves in positions of like, oh, I'm looking awkward right now. Well, this is weird right now. And like, you're learning how to let love in those places. But I love how she just kind of went on a journey, like going to an art school, of really shedding that layer. And you could see like, just like the, even like how we like hide ourselves in clothes and put hats on and like kind of want to be hidden. And part of what shedding self-preservation and the shield of that is actually being safe in being seen and being safe in being out there. And it not being, I think sometimes because us as Australians have, and you know, I see it in America too, like it's everywhere, but it's a thing called tall poppy syndrome. And I think England has it as well. Like so many cultures actually have it, but it's quite prominent. Where, you know, it's this idea of like any tall poppy that goes above the rest of the poppies gets cut down. So we have this like, let's shut you down. And it, you know, it's so interesting because I used to think of it, so other people do this to us. And then I realized like, I think we all have a little bit of like anywhere where we have smallness internally, we can cut people down. It's like a projection we put on other people. But with that, like we can tend to be have like partner with a critical spirit where we're like shutting people down. So of course, like we don't want to show up and be seen. And I think sometimes like a biggest thing from especially a lot of mature people, they're like, I don't want to show up and do that thing on social media or launch that business because I don't want to be like self-involved or I don't want to be attention seeking. And I think that there's another way to look at it of like, we actually need your voice. Like we want you to express yourself because you actually display the glory of God when you do that. And it's actually a beautiful thing. And so anyway, that's going to be part of the conversation as I go through all of these shields. We talk through these guideposts. It's not necessarily going to be an order of like, it's not necessarily going to be like every week is going to be guidepost one, guidepost two. I'm going to like have guests come in between. But yeah, I've created this giveaway and it's just a PDF. It's basically some journal prompts around each guidepost that can prompt you and kind of give you like space to reflect. Because I love in Brené Brown's book, The Gift of Imperfection, her and her husband looked at all the research around what wholehearted people cultivated in their life. And they set their kids down and they had like lists of like, hey, we want to add these into our family. We want to have, you know, like laughter, play and song more. We want to cultivate like more of these moments because they just bring such richness to your life. And so I've created a PDF where you can go through and follow along and answer the questions that I've put there so that you can start cultivating those things. So I'll close with this quote that Brené Brown talks about. And she says that courage, the root word of courage is cor, which is the Latin word for heart. In one of our earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. And part of being wholehearted is being unapologetically you and learning to like break the shame off your story. So if you've lived a bit of life, you know, you've probably gone through things you're not proud of. But part of what healing is like really getting rid of the sting inside your story. And I think having a podcast has really taught me, I think this is my 100th episode, by the way, but I think having my voice out there a lot and sharing my story and being more honest about who I am, like it's really sweet when I have people like tell me how the podcast has impacted them and all of that. That's so sweet. But it's actually been the space that has helped me grow in my own confidence and belief in myself the most. And so it's been this great place of like being able to evolve in front of people or say something that maybe I don't agree with the next week or, you know, like it's been this space of I'm just putting myself out there because I'm curious and I'm following the curiosity. And it's not like I have this dream of being a podcaster. It's more about saying yes to the story that is being written in me by doing this, because I think that when we create, it's part of like our true nature. And so part of me has been like, well, this feels like the next right thing for me. And so I've just said yes to it and then found myself on my 100th episode, which is crazy. But part of it is like this word of courage, and it's called the next brave thing, because I love, like, courage has become such a core value to me. And courage has made me like reach for self-worth. Like, because I think that we have these tests and these moments in life where we could shrink and go back and stay in low self-worth patternings and behaviors. And this word courage, which has been so connected to my heart, has been me like reaching into the person that I know God created me to be, but it's so easy to stay small and hidden and shrink. And so the word courage has been such a marker for me learning how to own my story, share my story, get it wrong to get it right, and yeah, be on the journey. So thank you to all of you who've been listening for, I know, and I've met some people who have like been OG Next Brave Thing podcast listeners. So thank you so much for going on the journey. And I just love that you guys have gone on this ride with me. So I'll give you some updates. I obviously like sign up for my email list. I'm actually launching my email list. And with that giveaway, which has journal prompts so that you can start cultivating wholehearted things in your life. But also, I have launched and I'm currently in the midst of launching a group coaching program for wholehearted women. And this is specifically to women of faith who, want to start cultivating this in their life. And so if you're interested, I have the link in the show notes. And if you're interested in sort of like finding out more information about it, you can like register your interest. I'm going to be doing multiple rounds of that. And my dream is to kind of start cultivating a wholehearted community. So if you want to be a part of that, that would be so fun. And you can be anywhere in the world because it'll be on Zoom. I'd love you to sign up and stay connected and also reach out. And I love it when you guys say, get this person on your podcast, because that's so fun. But I really hope you really enjoy these next episodes. And yeah, it's a whole season, whole series on how to live wholehearted. So have a wonderful rest of your week. And oh, you can always like, share, subscribe, do all those things with the podcast. That gets the word out there, and I love that. But you're also welcome to book in coaching sessions with me one-on-one. So if group is not for you, you can always do one-on-one coaching. I think that's it. So thanks for listening to season 6, episode 1, kicking off our wholehearted series. Much love to you all. Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.